Welcome in, everyone, to Beyond the Beat with 32 Beat Writers. My name is Zach Hajduk, and I am going to be taking us through a very quick and dirty breakdown of the fantasy relevant players taken on day three of the NFL draft, the final day. That would be the fourth to the seventh rounds. We're going to be going through in order of selection. We're going to be pretty brief with it, but we're going to talk all of the fantasy relevant selections. A quick shout out to one of our content writers, Greg Montaglione, who helped me put this together. I couldn't have done it without him, and I really appreciate that. So shout out to Greg. I did just want to brag a little bit about us. I mean, hey, we're getting out shows to you before I think anybody else is in the community here. So I appreciate you guys listening, and I hope that you find it helpful and these quick reactions. We will be breaking things down more specifically for you in the coming weeks. But for now, let's start right in on round four. Off of the top here, we have Javion Sanders, tight end, round four, pick 101 to the Carolina Panthers. As with all Carolina Panthers being drafted, of course, it worries me. Now, they've drafted a wide receiver, a tight end, and a running back at this point in the draft. And, you know, they're clearly trying to address needs here. Sanders is great with contested catches and should be a threat in the red zone at this level, being the NFL. This is probably a good fit for him, and he should have a shot to take over tight end one duties in Carolina. So as much as I hate drafting tight ends, rookie tight ends, and hoping that they turn into something, and it's especially pairing them in a situation that I don't love, you know, you're not going to get a lot of opportunities at tight end in your rookie drafts this year. And hey, a guy who might be able to start, that's at least worth a pick. Troy Franklin is selected next, wide receiver, round four, pick 102, right behind Sanders there. He goes to the Denver Broncos. Denver did trade up to get Franklin. And Franklin, I think, is another player that probably expected that he was going a lot earlier. I think many or most people would have believed that. If you would have thought he got to the fourth round, most people would have taken you on that bet. He's going to be paired with his college quarterback, Bo Nix, which is great. So they should have some chemistry right off the jump. I do think, for me, that does add a little bit of incentive to possibly pick him up. Being that he's in round four, I'm curious to see how the community, particularly in Dynasty, treats him. Are they going to fade him a lot, or are they still going to be in on him, given that he went to a situation where he may be able to work with a guy that he's worked with in the past and they just like the name? So we'll have to watch that there. Theo Johnson goes next in round four, tight end to the New York Giants, pick 107 overall. You know, Johnson didn't have a lot of production in college, but he does have athletic talent. Should hopefully help them improve in both, the receiving game and the blocking game. We hopefully can see him develop into that. I don't have a lot of faith, again, in Daniel Jones sticking around too long for the future. But again, what else are you going to do at tight end in your rookie drafts? They're probably going to be going a bit later anyways. And, you know, when you're at your third and fourth round picks, who else are you going to be spending those picks on? So maybe worth a shot. Here's a guy that I am very excited about. If you've listened to our feed, you probably would have had Cody Carpentier. You would have heard his commentary on it. And Javon Baker, wide receiver, round four, pick 110 to the New England Patriots. In my opinion, this is a really great pick for the Patriots. I was very excited when they were able to grab him. Baker possesses speed and contested catchability that, you know, should make him successful in the NFL with the rookie quarterback and another receiver that was drafted this year in Jalen Polk, who we talked about yesterday. Baker should help form the new Patriots passing attack. And that is what we should look at it as. We have Kendrick Bourne on the roster. You've got a couple of previous rookie picks in Demario Douglas and Tyquan Thornton. Thornton hasn't done pretty much anything, whether that be his fault or the offense. I don't know. I feel like I don't have a lot of faith with Thornton. Anyways, so Baker's going to have a real opportunity here. along with Jalen Polk, and I'm really interested to see how that all comes together. Definitely worth a shot playing with a rookie quarterback, yes, but hey, Drake May, if he's able to make somebody something, it would be fun to watch Baker become that. Another guy who went that had what most people would have assumed a higher draft capital maybe 3 months ago is Devontae Walker. He goes in round four to the Baltimore Ravens at pick 113. He has a lot of potential. You know, the speed is obvious, but he's got to overcome problems with drops and not amazing route running all the time in order to be successful. I think he's a good risk to take for the Ravens at this spot. You know, you've got Rashad Bateman behind Zay Flowers there, and they needed somebody, so it totally makes sense that they would grab him. The hands are really the thing that I'm concerned about here, but the situation isn't the worst from a fantasy perspective. Is there a possibility? I mean, you've got Mark Andrews soaking up targets there as well at tight end. Maybe that makes him at best a third target if I had to guess, but you know, maybe if you have anything like a best ball league, especially going forward, he could be a speculative ad for a couple of games that could be interesting. So I like the spot for him personally, but I'm not 100% sure how that's going to work out. Big time bust potential, but also could pay off. So take that for what it's worth. We then had a tight end in round four at pick 115 go to the Cincinnati Bengals, and that was Eric All. He has good skills as a blocker and might be able to, you know, improve as a receiver. But if we're being honest, I don't see him being a top three target getter there. So that would kind of keep me away from grabbing him in too many leagues. Next, we get Jalen Wright, running back, round four, pick 120. To the Miami Dolphins. This is interesting to me. The Dolphins traded a third round pick next year to go up and grab Wright, clearly telling us that they did want him there. And that's a lot to pay a third round pick for a fourth rounder this year. Wright is all about speed and fits the Dolphins scheme. You know, you figure that he's probably a security blanket for an injury to one of the top backs and will eventually fill into the Raheem Mostert role, especially if we have an injury to him or H-ing there in some capacity. I mean, Mostert is 32, and I think this is really interesting. Jalen Wright, people were hoping would go a little bit earlier, as with most of the running backs on day three. But you couldn't really land in much better of a situation if you're around for a running back. I really like that for him. So I'll definitely be grabbing him where I can. AJ Barner, tight end, goes next in the fourth to the Seattle Seahawks. Barner is an accomplished blocker, but doesn't have the profile to be a big receiver in the NFL. Not crazy interested there, especially with the wide receiver and quarterback situation being what it is. Another tight end quick, Cade Stover to the Texans. Well, I think that Cade may be a decent talent here. In a lot of respects, it's just frankly not a great landing spot due to the fact that, you know, there's a lot of competition there between the wide receivers that they already had and the wide receiver and Stephon Diggs that they brought in, on top of the fact that they have Dalton Schultz there as well, who I believe they just signed to an extension. So for me, not crazy interested, but he does run the seam well, is an athletic tight end, and should help CJ Stroud, probably also help out the offense. So for them, it's good, but not crazy interested in Stover himself. All right, moving right along, we got Bucky Irving in round four, pick 125 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's a running back, bit small, but is elusive and should factor in well as a change of pace back at the pro level. You know, I don't know if he will have the opportunity or not to step into the main role here, but if he has to, should be able to handle himself okay. Will Shipley goes to the Philadelphia Eagles at pick 127, running back. He's going to be behind Saquon Barkley, pretty obviously. A bit disappointing there if you were a Will Shipley fan, but you know, how long is Barkley going to be around? He's not exactly a spring chicken. They did obviously commit to him. So that is certainly there. But Shipley's kind of slippery. He's got good burst. Should be a good fit as a passing down back, but he's got to improve that pass blocking in order to protect Jalen Hurts. And that is a very key element if you're going to get on the field, especially if you've got Saquon Barkley in front of you. So I wouldn't anticipate seeing him a lot unless you have a Barkley injury, and he's going to have to improve on that pass blocking before he gets on the field naturally. Next, we get Ray Davis at pick 128 to the Buffalo Bills. He is the running back that they select. Davis is kind of short with a lower center of gravity, and can drive through tacklers to gain the tough yards. He's pretty highly productive in college. I think he's a good fit there. You've got James Cook, obviously not a super big dude. Ray Davis, a little bit more of that traditional, I don't want to say thumper, but he's going to bring a little bit more of that traditional style running back. And I'm curious to see if we get what I'm worried about and we see more Ray Davis than I would like as a James Cook owner. Now, I don't know that that's definitely going to happen, but he's one of the guys that like has me a bit concerned that perhaps he'll take a few more carries than I would appreciate away from James Cook. This guy, Isaac Grendo, running back, pick 129 to the San Francisco 49ers, is a bit of a sleeper for some. You could look at this as a terrible or a great landing spot. Obviously, from a scheme standpoint, this is a great landing spot for Grendo here. He's fast, got a good frame, and his game should translate to the pros. He's got the potential to be a complete back, and I know a lot of people, when they saw his 40 time, were like, oh, hey, I'm interested. And it wasn't really a name that was probably very crazy well-known up until maybe 2 months ago at the most. Obviously, you've got Christian McCaffrey there. If you have an injury to Christian McCaffrey, that is what would make that interesting. If we take a look at their depth chart here as I pull it up, if you don't mind me just... you've got Elijah Mitchell. That's the guy I knew I was forgetting. You got Elijah Mitchell sitting there in front of him, who is competent. Don't get me wrong. Definitely a competent back. But that's not an insane amount of things for him to overcome in order for him to get a couple of attempts on the field here. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is going to be taking most of that. But it's an interesting speculative ad there later in your rookie drafts that I'm willing to take. Jared Wiley, tight end, goes pick 131 to the Kansas City Chiefs. Wiley is an accomplished pass catcher who can stretch the field and has the ability to learn now under Travis Kelce, who, as we know, is getting a bit older. I'm interested to see if that is a role. Obviously, you're never going to fill Travis Kelce's role completely, but if, you know, he does happen to get injured, despite him being an Iron Man, they've been trying to not, like, they've tried to hold Kelce back a little bit during the season to help him be available in the playoffs. So perhaps Wiley gets a bit more of a role there. He was Danny Kelly's number two tight end for the class, for what it's worth. So I do think that this is definitely intriguing considering Kelce's age and, of course, the situation with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. Next, running back Braylon Allen goes at pick 134 to the New York Jets. Allen has a dominating 235-pound frame, but is a little bit light on his feet for the size. He can be versatile with pass catching, short yardage running, and can further develop as an early down back. But of course, in order to be an early down back, you need to not have Breece Hall in front of you, which of course now Braylon Allen does. It's unfortunate that he is behind Breece Hall. You're maybe hoping for a bit of a better situation with his upside, but he could be the type of guy that makes for a good handcuff for this year, at least for Breece Hall. Jacob Cowan, wide receiver, goes next at 135 in round four to the San Francisco 49ers. It's a good landing spot for Cowan. He should be used as kind of a speed gadget player for the Niners. With the Samuel and Ayuk trade rumors, which I believe are pretty real, whether or not they happen now because of the fact that the draft is over, I think makes it, you know, less likely, I should say, that it happens now going forward, that both of them or maybe even either of them are off the team this year. But if that happens, hey, you got a serious opportunity there. So that's something to look out for sure. Anthony Gould goes next in round five. We're finally in round five here, guys, at pick 142 to the Colts. You know, we already had a receiver going to the Colts. You know, he's fast, undersized, hope for maybe a wide receiver three, but you're not excited from a regular fantasy standpoint. He's mostly going to be used as a return specialist with the new rules. And side note, if you are not aware, the return rules change for kickoffs. You should probably already know that. But if you didn't, you're learning now. There's going to be a lot more touchdowns, I would anticipate. And there's going to be a lot more yardage gained and returns happening on those kickoffs. So I would just have a conversation among your league mates and things like that with maybe what you would want to do with those changes. I think it makes it more interesting to count points for yardage and touchdowns gained, of course, on those plays, because you're going to have some guys that are going to be relevant this year that maybe wouldn't be as relevant otherwise. Personally, in the league that I commish for Dynasty, we give the half amount of points that you would for rushing yardage. So it takes 20 yards to get a point as opposed to 10. We then have Audric Esime going round five at pick 147 to the Broncos. You know, I don't know that I have a ton of faith in Williams there. You were really hoping that he would break out a bit more. I mean, obviously he's talented, but with the injuries there, the new quarterback, the situation that he's in because of the fact that the coaching staff was not the guy who drafted him, that is Javonte Williams. You got Samaje Perine in front of him. I think there's a decent chance. We've talked about Jaleel McLaughlin maybe playing a joker role, but hey, drafting Audric Estime makes things a little bit more interesting there. Then we have quarterback Spencer Rattler, who everybody was hyped about a year and a half ago, maybe two, going round five at pick 150 to the Saints. Obviously going to hope for a backup role there. Derek Carr, maybe he moves on in a couple of years, and if they see something that they like in Spencer Rattler, maybe he gets a shot. I don't anticipate that personally. Feel a little bit bad for him. I think he's cleaned up a lot of the issues that anybody was worried about, but unfortunately, he still goes round five here. And yeah, we'll just have to see if anything happens there. But unless there's some major drama with the Saints and Derek Carr, I wouldn't anticipate seeing him too much. We've talked about Anaya Smith on this show. He goes in round five to the Eagles at 152. They also added Johnny Wilson, for what it's worth, in round six, wide receiver pick 185. The Eagles did, that is. And you know, it's unfortunate that he got drafted here. I liked a little bit of what I had seen, but behind Devonta Smith and AJ Brown and the running back that they just grabbed, Saquon Barkley. Sorry, guys, it is so late. Saquon Barkley, chances are he's probably going to maybe be at best the fourth target. Now, they don't have an amazing wide receiver room outside of the top two, of course. Maybe he finds a role here, wide receiver, three wide receiver sets, but you know, that's what you got. Jamari Thrash then goes round five to the Browns at pick 156, wide receiver. And man, I really had hoped that he would go somewhere interesting. I have no idea what to think about the Browns, man. The situation at quarterback with Deshaun Watson, I don't know how much faith to have. And from a depth chart perspective here, they traded for Jerry Jeudy. They have Amari Cooper on the roster. And then, as we know, Elijah Moore as well. Cedric Tillman doesn't scare me, but yeah, I don't know. I think you're probably at best, again, looking at a wide receiver three if he hits his potential here for a while. They paid a good amount for Jerry Jeudy, so they're going to focus targets on him. And Amari Cooper is a pretty good wide receiver still, so that's the situation there. Unfortunate, but you know, maybe worth a flyer. Somebody that I'm really interested in, though, running back Rasheen Ali goes round 5 at pick 165 to the Ravens. I, like I said, am really interested in the situation here. I think there's a possibility that he provides some real value, particularly if King Henry goes down, who they brought in this year. You know, you still got Keaton Mitchell there, but he was never going to be the only guy behind Henry. So Rasheen Ali, he did have, I should mention, a bicep injury on at the Senior Bowl. I was really looking to see him. He did pretty well day one, and I think he had an injury either at the end of day one or the beginning of day two, and wasn't there the rest of the week, which was a bummer. Didn't get to talk to him, didn't get to see him much after that. So this is a good position for him, though, and I'm hopeful that maybe he gets a shot to, you know, do something, assuming that we have either an injury to Henry or maybe he's just, you know, taking a break and Rasheen can get in. We then have Tyrone Tracy, running back in round 5, pick 166 to the Giants. He's going to be a receiving back. He's a bit undersized. Maybe he can carve out a role with the vacancy there of Saquon Barkley. You, of course, have Devin Singletary there now. So, you know, I don't anticipate, again, this being a crazy good offense, so I'm not exactly envious of Tracy here. But maybe you see him in a third down spot and get lucky a couple of weeks. So these are some players coming up here. Anybody I mentioned now, this is not a comprehensive list of all of the, you know, fantasy position players who have been drafted, but these are some of the guys that I actually am either excited about or think are notable, and that will wrap everything up. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys for you here, okay? We got Malik Washington. He goes round 6 to the Dolphins. He was a sleeper favorite among the 32 beat writer team here and several other fantasy folks. You've probably heard his name a decent bit headed into the draft here. I would have hoped for higher draft capital, of course, but with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle being the only two serious wide receivers ahead of him, I think it will be key to watch at training camp to see if we may have a possible wide receiver 3 for this team. Next, Dylan Laube, running back, goes round 6 at 208 to the Raiders. While the Raiders may not seem like an ideal spot given the quarterback situation, what isn't here is a dominant running back that can't be tested for his starting role. Zamir White was taken in the 4th and isn't exactly special, and this isn't the GM or the original head coach who drafted him. With Alexander Mattison there now in free agency, I do think it muddies the water a bit on that whole situation, but what I can tell you is that Laube is an excellent pass catcher, and he should have the opportunity to find an immediate role in that capacity. I did get to speak with him and watch him at the Senior Bowl this year, and while I was hoping he'd be on a bit better of an offense, this should at least allow him an opportunity, which in the 6th round is all you can ask for. Next, we got Ryan Flournoy, wide receiver, round 6 to the Cowboys. And woo, baby, I did not know I could fist pump this hard about a 6th round wide receiver, but I'm excited for his opportunity with Flournoy. Man, obviously CeeDee Lamb is the one there. There's no question about that, and there's no chance that he ever sniffs taking over that role. But all they have there is Brandon Cooks, more like Brandon Cooked, am I right? Jalen Tolbert, Kevontae Turpin. You know, Flournoy is fast, he's strong, he's got good size. I like the potential here, and I'm rooting for him as we go through training camp, and you'll want to pay close attention there. Next, in round 7 now, we've got Brendan Rice, wide receiver. You probably know the name by now. He goes to the Chargers. I feel like he bears mentioning because of the name, but also because there are wide receiver jobs open for the Chargers. Even with the addition of Ladd McConkey in the top of the 2nd round, you know, QJ, Quentin Johnston is the only other real guy guaranteed a job as the wide receiver three. QJ is the only other real guy guaranteed a job. And at the wide receiver three position, the only other real competition is Joshua Palmer. What is anticipated to be a run-heavy scheme, you know, it may not be a lot to get a wide receiver three opportunity, but I have no real faith in Quentin Johnston. And if Rice can find a way to develop a little bit more, having Justin Herbert as your quarterback is as much as you could hope for at this point in the draft in round seven with his last name. I feel like he's going to be given a fair shot to show if he belongs in the league. Round seven is a difficult spot to fight your way onto the 53-man roster at the end of training camp and practice and all of that through the preseason. But Brendan Rice, obviously, you know, son of the Hall of Famer, Jerry Rice, I would assume that he makes it that far. And the wide receiver need at the Chargers is definitely there. So maybe he can fill that role. Last guy for us here that I'm going to mention before we head out, Jaheim Bell. Tight end, round seven to the Patriots at pick 231. This is an interesting situation for Bell. I'm not sure how many round seven tight ends end up working out in the league long term, but Bell has a shot to stick around with the Patriots. While the Patriots re-signed Hunter Henry and brought in Austin Hooper on a cheap one-year deal, Bell doesn't really profile like either of those guys exactly. Bell was able to show off his receiving ability at the Senior Bowl and in an offense where I expect a good bit of play action. If he can find a way to stick on the roster, you know, all the way to the beginning of the season, make that final 53, I'd love to see if he can put something together. Of course, this is a long shot fantasy-wise, but it is worth mentioning because he profiles much more as a pass catcher. And, you know, there's not a lot of long-term depth at tight end in front of him with the Patriots. So we are going to talk about the notable people still left on the board, or rather re-signed in free agency next week, as well as a continued deep dive into these situations and what we do and do not like. I did want to mention one more time to call our voicemail at 818-308-5020. I want to hear your take on the draft. I want to see what you have to say. That's 818-308-5020. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. As I said, we're glad to have you with us on this episode. I hope you enjoyed the draft because it's all over. And now it is time to start prepping for your draft. Stay tuned for us next week. Don't forget to like, rate, review, and repost to help us out the show. Go to the website, 32beatwriters.com. And for everybody at 32 Beat Writers, I'm Zach Hajduk. We will see you later.